Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Yes, hello. One more hour to share with you. Aaron Woods is here, as is Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires, and it's great pleasure now. A man who made his debut in State of Origin 1, who'll be running around again in a blue jersey tomorrow night in Perth. I'm, of course, talking about Cameron Murray, joins us now. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. So a little bit different for you after the first game, going in there as a debutant, a little bit of experience under your belt. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been really good, obviously. Sort of know what's coming this time around, so I'm probably not as nervous and feel a little bit more comfortable having played 50-odd minutes in the first game. So, the first game was a great experience, but, got a job to do Sunday night, so really looking forward to it.
Similar role, Cam, would imagine in the sort of the middle of the field there, come on maybe halfway through that sort of first half and try and look for some opportunities in the back end of the half when the forwards are a little bit tired?
I'm guessing so. Freddie hasn't come up to me and let me know what his plans are, but I'm preparing like I've got the same job to do like I was given in the first game. So, if my role doesn't change, I've done it before and I'm pretty confident that, we can go in and have a similar impact on the game on Sunday. So, like I said before, I'm really excited.
If there was just one moment in your debut that's really stuck with you and something that you've been thinking about since that loss up there at Suncorp, what would it be?
I don't know. It all happened so fast, really, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch the game again. So it's pretty patchy in my mind. I just remember the intensity, how physically demanding it was, and obviously the occasion at Suncorp doesn't get much better playing an Origin up there. So. I guess it's probably just a little bit more of a step up in terms of intensity, pace, and obviously they're the best of the best playing out there. So it's just every moment is, takes 100%. So there's no room for any slip up or anything like that. So I probably couldn't nail it down to one moment where I remember anything too special. So just the whole occasion was really special and really different.
Hey, Cam, mate, it's Woodsy here. Congratulations, obviously, with your first Origin, mate. I haven't spoke to you before. But, mate, I think it's when you play at South, you're so strong when you take it to the line and you go out the back and play a bit of footy. I know Jackie Trbojevic had that role in Origin 1, but do you reckon we'll get a chance to see you play a bit more footy? Because I think that's when you're playing at your best, you know. You drag so many numbers into you, but then you got a great little pass, whether it's a short ball or at the back. Is there any chance that we're going to see some more footy come off you, mate?
Yeah, well, obviously that's the plan for me, I think. Not playing with the boys before, it was hard to get those combinations and get those rotations, get those rotations sort of fixed. So it was hard to sort of know who to play off. And, like I said, it was just hard to sort of develop those combinations in such a short time. But we've had, we've had game one go past now. We've had another week to sort of play with each other too, so hopefully when I get on there we can sort of play to everyone's strengths, and it'll help having a few ball players on there in the middle. Obviously if Jakey's there in the middle there and taking control of the forwards, I'm happy to run a lead off him or play to his strengths too. But then again, if we're both on the middle there, I think we can both sort of step up into that ball playing role. It just depends who's in what position and field position and stuff like that, as you know. So that's the plan. I'm going in with to play to my strengths, and I guess that's the plan for everyone here, is to play to their strengths. And like I said before, we've got one game under our belt now. We're a bit more used to each other, so hopefully it all falls into place on Sunday.
On your day off, did you get involved in the golf? Did Wade Graham take any money off you?
Nah, man. I would have slowed them down if I went. I'm not massive golfer myself, so I just put the feet up and actually didn't do much, to be honest. So.
Hey, Cam, Freddie bringing in Mark Guy to present the jerseys tells me one thing, that he's after a real physical performance from you guys tomorrow. Like, MG only played three or four Origins, but it's what he did in his time there that inspired the state. What's the attitude been like? What was the response, especially from the middle, from the forwards? And Freddie's been vocal about that period in the game there where you guys got a little bit dominated early in that second half. Can you feel like there's just been a little bit of a raise in the intensity in the build-up to Origin 2 than there was in Origin 1?
Yeah, I guess so. There's no secret. Like you said, Freddie's been pretty vocal about it. There's no secret there that we probably, didn't match the Queensland forward pack early in that second half, and they probably did put it over us a little bit too. So, yeah, that's something that we'll try and that we'll be leading in and trying to combat and trying to match too, and obviously trying to, make a stance with our defence and step up that intensity a little bit too. So it was a huge honour for MG to come in and present us our jerseys. Obviously, he's done a lot in the game and he's had some pretty iconic moments there in Origin too. And, you know, he's a very emotional man, wears his heart on his sleeve, and you can tell just by the way he speaks and his mannerisms around, him explaining to us what Origin means to him and how much of a family sort of environment it is coming into Origin, because we're all playing for that Blues jersey and we're all playing for a team and for a state that we've all grown up supporting and feel so passionately about. And it was great to have a past player come in and share his thoughts. So I think it does add a little bit more emotion to it, and it does make it a little bit more of a special occasion hearing the words come out of Mark Guy's mouth, and you know how passionate he is about even some of the boys he hasn't met. He brought a real sort of emotional family sort of feel when he came in and spoke to us too. So it was a huge honour, and we'll be looking to improve areas where we probably got a bit dominated there in that first sort of bit of the second half. So preparation's been really good, and there's no reason why we can't sort of go out there and step it up a bit in the middle especially, and get the job done.
Indeed. All right, mate. Well, congratulations again on game two. Enjoy it, and let's hope for the Blues' sake it's a slightly different result. Thanks so much for chatting. Really appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
Good luck, brother.
There he is.
Good luck, buddy.
Cameron Murray, who'll be running out for his second Origin tomorrow evening. We should go into the Queensland camp. Dobbo will join us next. Woodsy Gertz, Tony with you, and it's time to find out what's been happening in the Queensland camp as we chat with Ben Dobbins. Dobbo, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are we?
Yeah,
it's been
very
a big week.
Yeah, I bet it has. From the moment that the man who used to be Kevin Walters said they'd play on in the desert. I noticed that one early in the week. How's it been for you?
Well, he's been prickly. I mean, you know, there's no two ways about it. Kevy drank the Kool-Aid of one Bradley Stubbs a little over 3 weeks ago, and we've seen a different Kevy for the last 3 weeks. But if I want to be honest with you, Queensland's preparation has been seamless this time around. Before game one, it was all about how Kevy had lost the plot, and it was all one-way traffic, and that New South Wales were going to win this series. Obviously, we know what went on at Suncorp Stadium, and this time around, I mean, there's been a little bit of talk with Dylan Napa. Obviously, he's got a broken bone in his wrist, and Kalyn Ponga had a calf injury, and Daly pulled up a little bit sore with his ankle. But other than that, they've all trained. They had their captain's run this morning, which I was at. They're ready to go. No pressure at all.
Yeah, but Dobbo, the result's one thing, but also the promotion of Origin is another thing. And over the years, you know, we've had barbs thrown from both camps, and that's made sort of the build-up a lot more exciting. Gee, I just feel that what's happened this year has just taken away a lot, and especially being involved in the media, where one side comes out and goads the other side, and we've had it especially with guys like Gal over the years and Gus, and have always just sort of thrown something at the other camp. What that's done with Queensland, sort of, you know, not mentioning New South Wales and talking about the opposition, it's given New South Wales no ammunition, so they're not firing shots back. It's been a pretty boring build-up, I have to say.
You reckon? You believe, like, I'm with you a bit, Gertz, in the sense that, you know, like, we know all the stuff that's gone on in the past, but there's another way to look at it. I mean, the pressure that Kevin Walters has been under when he took over this job, I mean, the transition from the squad that he inherited 3 years ago, if you remember, there was Cam Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, Sam Thaiday, Greg Inglis, Billy Slater, all these guys have exited. Now, if New South Wales lost all that cattle, mate, they'd be on a 15-year rebuild. Kevin Walters, potentially come Sunday night, can have another series win, and he's completely rebuilt this side. So I said to him, mate, why? He said, because I don't care about anything other than winning for Queensland. He said, We want to win this game and win this series. I know there's a big, it's about mate versus mate, state versus state, but he's on the rebuild himself, and I've asked him about this. He doesn't care. One iota.
Oh, that's clear. I totally understand that, and I get the rebuild thing, but when you add guys like Kalyn Ponga and Cameron Munster, you know, when I know that the names that you mentioned there are big losses, but to be able to filter through the next generation with the quality that they have also, it also makes things just that little bit easier.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, they didn't come from – they just didn't get picked up. They've been going through a development process. And, I mean, I'm from New South Wales. Yeah, so I'd like to see New South Wales win the series. But to be honest with you, I think he's done a great job. I don't know what more that he can do, though. Like, I mean, we try and bait him. We try and ask him questions. He doesn't want to come into it. There's been a little bit of talk, obviously, with Dylan Napa's wrist this week. And that was like that was the only thing that's really been of any huge interest or put any doubt in. I mean, Kalyn Ponga tripped over at training, and he was getting his calf rubbed by a physio. Well, next thing you know, people are saying, well, potentially there's literally been nothing except just a very steely focus from this Queensland side, and all the talk what we were getting was that out of it was New South Wales, it was their drama, seven changes. I know three were through injury, but with the Tamana Tahu grabs earlier on in the week and all the changes, no Latrell Mitchell, I think all the pressure's been on New South Wales.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, Queensland have escaped this time without any conversation about them at all, nearly, and it's been all on New South Wales, which is probably not a great thing. In terms of their preparation, though, they also go into a game too as a team that was there before, so you'd expect their performance to lift, to be better, which makes it slightly more difficult for the Blues, I guess, again, on a short preparation with new faces.
Look, I mean, Kevin Walters gave game one a 5 out of 10, and every player that I've spoken to away from just privately have said there's no two ways about it. When we go back and look at the tape, the first 20 minutes was there. We should have lost it because New South Wales just didn't capitalise on how much ball and possession they had. And I think if you ask New South Wales about that first 20 minutes, they should have been a lot more in front. And there were some opportunities there, and there were some try-saving tackles, but this time round, they don't want to have a slow start. If they have a slow start, there's no way that New South Wales won't capitalise. One thing is clear is that privately, Queensland fear this New South Wales side far more than what they did with their game one team. They know about Trbojevic. They know that there's no going back. And they also are aware that Queensland have never won a decider in the whole history of Origin, have never won a decider in Sydney. So if they do lose tomorrow night, the challenge for them to win in Sydney is, you know, it's going to be a very difficult ask. Well, they have to break history.
Yeah, they do have to break history. Yeah. And tell me, they've been relaxed. What's been involved in the camp? Because most of them went over on the Sunday, yeah?
Yeah, we've been here since Sunday, and some people like to call it a junket, Tony.
Yes.
I call it hard work, working for Triple M over here. It's been a slog, and I've never been one for a junket, unlike Gerds, obviously he'll arrive here later in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
The first 2 days was all about massage, recovery. These short turnarounds.
What about for the players, though?
Well, I mean, I'm yet to have a hit out yet. But look, for the players, they led early. They had their blowout early in the week. And they trained against the Western Australian rep team semi-opposed on Wednesday night and Thursday night. Had yesterday off, and then they had their captain's run at Optus Stadium today. I walked out into the centre of Optus Stadium today. It is an amazing field.
Oh, finally, we get a pitch report. Yeah. How's it looking, Dobbo?
You love my pitch report.
Yeah, I do.
Look, it's a fast track. They're expecting a bit of rain. It's a bit like a runway at the moment, obviously, because it's an AFL field normally. But look, it's 90% chances of rain, the Savo, a bit of rain tomorrow morning. It will be just perfect for the 7:50 or what is it, 6:55 or 5:55 kickoff here in Perth. It's going to be a good one. But look,
see, Dobbo, that's the thing. We asked Reedy for his pitch report, and he told us what it looked like from his seventh floor window. He hadn't
he was too hungover to give us a report.
Mate, listen, I saw some footage. Like our fearless leader Dan Ganane was out with him last night, and from all reports, both of them really behaved poorly last night. From all reports,
that's just the New South Wales way, isn't it?
Dangonane Brent Reed 1-2 for man of the match last night.
Well, so, I think they need to get relegated to 2 and 3 because Gordon Tallis, I think, has gone to number one with his efforts over there in Croatia.
Hasn't he? Gone to the lead. There's no two ways about
it. Without a doubt. And it's on video.
And whoever took that.
Run and hide.
Look out.
Thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. Yeah, it was a great video. Emma Lawrence was in good form as well. She's a bit dusty as well. So the Triple M team over here in Perth is holding up as usual. We're leading the way as such.
Oh, proud as punch. We are proud as punch. Ben Dobbin, thank you so much. Catch up again very soon. Good luck. Enjoy tomorrow.
See you, Dobbo.
Good on you guys. See ya.
There he goes. Dobbo with us. Matty Sutton, of course, who was the player of the match in the State of Origin, Women's State of Origin last night. She'll join us next. Test matches we'll get to talk about, of course, it is the State of Origin 2 in Perth tomorrow evening. State of Origin for the women was last night at North Sydney Oval. Looked beautiful on the telly. Great game of footy in front of over 10,000 fans who were really treated to the best of the best. And the best of the best named for the game, of course, was Maddie Studden, who joins us right here, right now. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me as well.
No, all good. How was it last year, 7,000 people at North Sydney Oval? You walk out, you run out there last night, over 10,000 of that beautiful ground, a cold night too.
Yeah,
the great atmosphere turnout. Was amazing.
Yeah, the atmosphere was unreal. And when we ran out, it was just full of packed and screaming. And it's just a great feeling. And the support that's coming behind us is yeah, we're just over the moon with the support, and we're so thankful.
Hey, Maddie, it was Ryan Girdley. Congratulations. It was a bit of a scratchy first half for you guys. Clicked in gear in the second half, and when you did and you released some of those athletes you've got out wide there, you were just too good in the end.
Yeah, our first half was a bit scrappy, and we just defended a lot. We didn't get much possession in with the ball, and we knew we just had to be patient. Our defence was really good, and our forwards really held it up in the middle there, and then in the second half, we're very calm in the sheds, and we just knew what we had to do. We had to set up on the 4-4 our kick when the first half our kicks were rushed. So in the second half we got the ball, and yeah, we just trusted and believed each other, and we got over the line.
Hey, Maddie, Aaron Woods here. Congratulations. Always good to see you beat Queensland.
Thank you.
How did Andy Patmore go? First time coaching the women's side, and I did a bit of work with him at the Bulldogs. He's a great fella. And how did he go with the new systems working with you guys?
Yeah, he was really good. He changed a lot, and even with our game plan and just our new style of how we went with our forwards. So, no, we trusted him and we believe it. And he was really good. And even in the halftime talk, he was really, really direct and what we had to do out there for us halves to really organise that fourth play for the kick. So once we got that sorted, we were all in plan and we just had to build pressure on them. And he was very calm, and that's what he said. We'll get the ball. We just got to be patient. And we turned him over, and forwards went up the middle and us back scored out wide.
Your halves partner, Kira Dibb, was also sensational. I'm tipping she didn't know that the tackle count had been restarted before she put boot to ball, but came out with the 40-30.
Yeah, that was quick thinking. I don't think she knew that it was kicked again, and she just whacked it and it turned out pretty good. So we're happy with that, and we got a try off it, so at the back end of it. So no, it was good, and she went unbelievable as well. First time in the State of Origin arena and first year of football as well. So credit to her and credit to the whole team. They just went unreal.
Yeah, she was brilliant in the second half. Took her sort of that first 30 minutes to adjust to, I think, to the speed of it. But is it true that this time last year she was in the US on summer camp?
Yeah, I think she's overseas having a holiday, I think. And then she was watching it and she said she wanted to try out for rugby league. And then she made the country team and, then she got selected in New South Wales. So she's very talented chick.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, there's the backstory to some of the people that played last night. I mean, we've got Australian champion shot putters in there, ex-hockey roos, people that have represented, soccer at really high levels. I mean, it's quite a diverse sort of background to a lot of the athletes that took part in last night's games.
Yeah, exactly. And we have Tiana Petitani. She's come from Rugby Sevens. So, yeah, we get all different codes, and we're glad that everyone's coming to rugby league because it's a great game.
Yeah, and where do you, you can obviously feel that tide of support for you, not just when you run in front of 10,000 people, but it has been a terrific build, hasn't it? Now there'll be talk about State of Origin for you and whether it should be expanded, whether you should go to bigger grounds, whether you should play in front of the men playing State of Origin. There's a whole lot of things going on, aren't there?
Yeah, there is, and I think that happens every year. Like last year, we didn't expect that many fans to come out, so I don't know, I think this year was a sellout, so we're very grateful that we're getting the support, and whatever happens in the future, we'll be ready to take it on. And there's a lot of work goes behind the screens with NRL working and the Women's Rugby League working behind it for us, pushing the right way for women's sport, and we got a lot of support behind us, so we're very grateful.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job. Matty, how do you feel about it? Obviously, the standalone opportunity, which you guys are the main event last night and last year, or how would you feel about travelling to, say, somewhere like Perth or Adelaide next year and possibly being in the curtain raiser?
Yeah, well, we love the standalone game. We obviously, last year was the first time to see how it would work out, and it was great. We got all those fans, and we got more fans this year for the standalone game. So, and then we had the 18th curtain raiser. But if we got the opportunity to play before the men's State of Origin, that will be unbelievable as well. Like, we can't say no to that. And whatever they push for and we get, we'll be happy to take it.
All right. Well played last night. And again, congratulations on not just the success of the game, but of how the whole game itself is going at the moment, Matty. Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, see you, Matty.
Sharky and a blue and a winner. Matty Studden joining us there. Aaron Woods, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires with you on a Saturday afternoon, flying towards full-time in this show. It's gone beautifully.
Has gone quick.
I think it's Woodsy.
Woodsy.
I think Woodsy just nailed it today.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, it's been a bit tight, hasn't it? Obviously, the State of Origin tomorrow night, all week. I'm wondering where it will go. Has it moved at all for New South Wales or the Maroons?
No, we still have no clear favourite, Tony. Both Queensland and New South Wales are $1.90 apiece. The money did come for Queensland after the two sides were announced earlier in the week, but since then it's been split pretty much 50-50, and we still don't have a favourite, and we're not sure if that will change before kick-off tomorrow.
Hey, Woodsy, I'm going to ask you this one. First try scorer tomorrow, who would your money be on? I know you can't bet.
Woodsy's going to have a crack, Tom. Yeah, who do you think?
First try score, I'd probably go with
Tedesco. Yeah, always an interesting market, this one. I quite like Tom Trbojevic at the current price of $14. He's been really well backed as well.
Okay.
The favourites are Blake Ferguson, Dane Gagai, and Corey Oates at $9. And of those, that trio, Corey Oates has been well backed. He's always really well backed in this market as well.
Right. And what about man of the match? There was an 80-1 pop that won it in game one. Any punters looking for value for game two?
Yeah, punters think there might be a bit of a value winner again. It's with my boy Tommy Turbo. He's $41, but he's been our best back. It'll be a terrible result for the Ladbrokes.
Wow. Well,
James Tedesco, he's favourite at $7. Cam Munster and Damien Cooker on the second line are betting at $7.50. And I don't mind Kalen Ponga at the current price of $10.
$10 for Kalen Ponga.
Okay.
All right, Tommy, thank you so much. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself, but remember, gamble responsibly. All right, it is time, gentlemen, to put the thinking caps on for a little bit of this action.
Ladies and gentlemen, three in five.
Oh, I love Tony Sessions. Yeah. I love the three in five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 in 5.
Yeah, this is your worst nightmare, Goods.
What's that?
This is your worst nightmare.
Is it music?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's music.
All right.
I mean, you did very well when the music was anthems a couple of
weeks
ago.
I did okay with the anthems.
National anthems. Yeah. Absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
Now, Woodsy, what happens here? Usually we've just, got to answer three questions, one question, three answers in 5 seconds. But we're not doing it this time. What I thought I'd do with the music, because we are obviously State of Origin in Perth in beautiful Western Australia, I thought you'd have to use your buzzers. Buzz in. I'm going to play some music from various artists, and I want you to tell me if these Australian musical artists are from the West Coast or the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you've got to buzz in.
Where's the buzzer?
Your name will be your buzzer.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you test your buzzer for me?
Aaron.
Beautiful. It's working perfectly.
Leroy.
Leroy.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Aaron and Leroy. Let's get our first artist.
Leroy.
Yes, Leroy.
East Coast.
Who are they?
Hoodoo Gurus.
Correct on Hoodoo Gurus.
Are they from the West Coast?
Incorrect. Yes, exactly.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, they've just gone down in my estimation. I thought they were local Sydney boys.
Well, they are. They do live in Sydney now.
Okay.
But, yeah, Dave Faulkner is from Perth.
What about the other guys?
Doesn't matter. I'm just going.
Oh,
yeah.
Hang on a second.
I'm going with Dave Faulkner.
What's the weather?
I'm happy
the majority
with that.
There's no argument to be entered into.
I reckon.
Okay, my judgment is final.
Okay, so that doesn't count, that question. I don't go to minus one. I'm just on zero.
What are you, the narrator? This has got nothing to do. I'll do the adding up, okay?
Well, what am I on?
You're on minus two now.
So I don't even have to answer a question now.
Yeah, just try. I'm just sure. Keep stum.
Oh, we've got a math genius in here as well.
I know. Let's have another one.
Woodsy.
Yes, Woodsy.
I don't know the band, but East Coast.
Baby Animals, West Coast. Baby Animals, West Coast. All right, what about this one? Leroy. Oh, yes, Leroy.
Powderfinger?
Yes.
I thought they were from Queensland. East Coast.
East Coast, okay. Well, correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Well done. We have a winner there. And what about this band?
Woodsy? Is this Imagine Dragons?
Oh, it's not Imagine Dragons. It's Birds of Tokyo. Oh,
Birds of Tokyo. And they're from Melbourne.
West Coast. Not from Melbourne. Take a point off
you. Half a point?
You're two. You get half a point. And finally, this band, ladies and gentlemen. Don't
ask me. Leroy.
Yes, Leroy.
East Coast.
In excess.
They come.
West Coast.
They do not.
Then they went like Adelaide and they got over to
Sydney.
That's
the shittiest thing you've ever done on this program.
And I've done so many shitty things.
Score update.
Stick around. You, my friend, are the winner.
You're
guilty. Triple M NRL. We'll get a little look at some of the games of footy. You can see Taz test matches. We'll have a look with Aaron Woods in just a moment. Before then, though, why don't we do this?
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, thanks to Mongrel Boots. Mongrel Boots built for you in mind. Ultra comfort for the hardest of days. Right, because we do have Aaron Woods in the studio, We got to thinking about the best of the best front row forwards in State of Origin. Front row forwards in State of Origin. It's a pretty cool list to go through. I'll start with you, Gerds. Where are you going to go?
Well, Lazo was one of my favourite front rowers and got to play with Lazo in an Origin 1 year. But I'd have to say when it comes to Origin, the best performance I've ever seen by a front rower would have been Rodney Howe, I think, in the 98. I don't know what was in the Kool-Aid that year, but I think he ran like for 280 metres, 36 runs, 52 tackles.
He looked good, didn't
phenomenal.
He? Looked even in that jersey,
outstandingly.
It looked like a condom full of walnuts. It was just...
Chiseled
that was the performance of a lifetime.
Absolutely. It was the performance of a lifetime. So you're going with Rodney Howe. I love it. What about you? Who you think? You've obviously run up against quite a few.
Come up against a couple of good ones. But when I grew up, I loved watching New South Wales, and you can't go past Chiefy and Spud. Just those two, mate, they just epitomise New South Wales in the middle. Like, Chiefy, I just love watching him play, mate. He just give 120% every time. You know, he'd swing punches, wouldn't be looking where he's throwing them. He'd come flying out of the line. He'd run that hard in the brick walls, mate. You can't go past Big Spud, Big Chiefy Harrigan and Spud Carroll.
Yeah, they were good. What about Webby? Did you, Shane Webke?
He just played for the wrong team, didn't he?
What a player,
you know, him and Petro. I mean, coming through having those guys up front. I mean, he was the head of the snake, Webby. You needed to shut him down, and I think that's a lot of the focus there was for New South Wales. You know, making sure that they didn't have a lot behind Webby. You know, obviously Gordy and that were there for a time, but in relation to their go forward, he was just so paramount to the success of Queensland for such a long period of time. So much of the focus was on Webby. Outstanding. Front rower. Outstanding front rower.
Steven to Steven, I got to play a couple of years against him, mate. He was like tackling granite. It was that hard, mate, when he was at Penrith. And I think he played 1 year at Brisbane to finish his career.
Yeah.
And he was still playing Origin at 36 in the front row. So, mate, he was one of the greatest front row players to ever play the game, I reckon, in my opinion. But, mate, he was...
And a terrific human being. Great, Petro. Yeah. Such good value.
Yep.
We were talking to Cam before about the State of Origin. We were talking about getting the jerseys handed out by MG and him speaking passionately, as he always does, but about the notion of family. Now, you were talking earlier, Gerds, how important that is, how key it is, and how difficult an environment Origin can be.
Well, you looked at other people in that, especially in your first couple of games, and they've got a relatively inexperienced side, New South Wales, in some of those sort of positions in the forwards there. And I think MG going in and having that chat about camaraderie and the family environment is so important, because it's such a confronting place, State of Origin. It's all the media speculation through the week, and then when you get there, you get really isolated, and it can be a really lonely place, especially in the sheds on the way to the game. Like those moments, the day of it's the longest day of your life. Honestly, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, and it just drags on, and you go through different stages. It gets to the point where you don't want to think about it too much. You just need to be really present and current, because when your mind starts to think about what you're about to do, you can really become quite agitated and nervous. And I think you form a bond with those players at that level, in that environment, because it's like you're just all being thrown in to a call, especially when you go to Suncorp. It's like you just sort of picked up, and 13 or 17 of you guys are just thrown into this hostile environment, and all you have is each other.
Yeah, I remember my first game. I played against Queensland up at Suncorp, and, you know, I idolised Chucky Watmel growing up. I was a Mad Manly supporter, and I got to room with him. You know, it was a different roomie, but it was good fun with Chucky. And he, from the first time I come into camp, he said, you know, welcome to the family. And then I never forget, he said, mate, don't play the game in your head. And like, I didn't realise what he meant by that until I got through my first series, and I was like, you know, I think I got the game down. I was a bit flat, you know, because like you said, you sit in the hotel all day. Kickoff's supposed to be at 8 o'clock, but doesn't go to about 8:20. There, you know, everyone prepares differently. You know, for a normal game, I wouldn't sit in my hotel room all day, and I'd go out, have a coffee, have a swim, you know. And then as you're about to run out, Chucky grabbed me and pushed me up the front. So I was like it was Gow, Vice Captain Birdie, and then I was behind them. And, mate, as you run out, it's unbelievable, the atmosphere, especially playing up at Suncorp. You got all these two heads just yelling at you, throwing beers at you. So it was an unreal.
Did you make
feeling.
Your debut up there, did you?
Yeah, I made my debut. And like you said, mate, if you blink, we didn't touch the ball for the first 20 minutes. Mm. So it was like, what have I got myself into up here? So, and, you know, the good thing about us at the moment, we had a lot of players come in last year, so it's not going to affect them this time. You know, most of our players, you got, you know, Wado that's come back in the squad. I think only Dale, who's debuting, you know, Jack White has played already game one. So
Jimmy's got experience.
Yeah. So it's not a big challenge for them, you know, and it's not at Suncorp. You know, they've got that game out of the way already. You know, you can just move along there, get a game two. The boys just get thrust straight into it, and it'll be a different experience again for them, you know, playing at a massive stadium. But when you play at Suncorp, you're boxed in, you feel like you've got nowhere to go. And the only person you can talk to is your teammates next year.
I spoke to Gal last week, and he said, and it was, in fact, I think, on the Channel 9 coverage as well, him talking about the time he gets nervous is on the bus on the way there. That's when it actually hits you. If you're doing that, not walking across, but that must be a moment.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're in that bus, you've got your suit on, and it's just dead quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've been in a quieter room or a quieter bus as it is as you go into Origin, you know. Everyone, because you're playing with the best of the best, and what you got to think is everyone prepares differently for games. Some guys are real loud, you know. Other guys just headphones in. They give you nothing till kickoff or to start preparing to warm up. So that's probably the biggest thing I took out of it. And they turn the lights off on the bus, so, mate. You get a little bit tired and it's a little bit eerie. So what's going on? Yeah. Are we going to play a game, or what are we doing? So,
it's funny, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. Everyone prepares differently at a club level, and I was one of those guys that never really bought into all the build up and things like that. But there's something about Origin that just doesn't allow you to prepare any other way than the way that you need to get ready for a contest like that. Because there's no other game like that. A grand final is, and sorry, Woods, you haven't been there yet.
Cheers, mate.
Yet. But a grand final is something else similar, where it is. Eerie is exactly the word for it, because, you know, you got the weight of expectation, you've got everyone's expectation, you've got your own expectation. And I think the biggest thing is you kind of, it's not knowing what's about to happen. It's the fear of the unknown, I guess, and when you go out on the field there in an Origin environment, especially when you play away, it's an environment that you have no control over, Tony. So basically you're just all in.
Yeah.
And that takes a certain time to prepare, to get yourself ready for something like that.
And I think when you say fear, when you play a club game, it's a club game. It's 2 points you miss out, you know. When you play for Origin, you're letting down your state. You're not just letting down the club side you play for. You're walking the street, and every person goes to New South Wales that is from New South Wales. So you feel like, I didn't just let my team down, I let the whole state. So it plays on your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that can play in blokes' heads. They play the game before they even play it. You know what I mean? So they sit back in a room and just think about it too much. So I'm a bit like Gerds. I'm real laid back going
to the
game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you come across as a casual human.
Yeah, I'm pretty wrapped up before a game. But when I get there, it changes you a bit when because you do things you don't normally do. Like I said to you before, you sit in the hotel room, you go for a team walk at 11 o'clock, and then you're back in the hotel room till 10 to 6 when you got to get the bus to cross the road or go to the Suncorp. So it's a hard one. It took me a couple series to get used to. And, mate, once you get used to it, you do feel a lot more comfortable. But then I remember when we had young blokes come through, like James Tedesco is one of my closest mates, and I just told him, mate, look, you got to flush out everything. Just prepare like it's a normal game. I said, I know it'll be hard, but trust me, you go into the game, you feel so much better because you don't feel flat. You don't feel like you've got no energy. Mate, you go into the game ready to go. And mate, Tedesco's been on fire. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you a music kind of guy?
Oh, yeah, I was because there's no one to talk to. Everyone had their headphones in. So, you know, I played with a guy, like Trent Merrin. Honestly, you know, he's a larrikin off the field. You get him in the sheds, headphones go in, and he doesn't say a word. But then you play with someone like Greg Bird. He's one of the most loudest blokes I've ever played with before a game.
Oh, yeah.
So it's everyone prepares different, and you don't want to go on asking questions because you feel like you're taking him off his routine.
I think Joey Johns wasn't his music. I think it was Carole King's Tapestry, which is an unusual choice, but that's what it is. Were you music?
I don't even think the iPod was around when I was playing. So, you know, I remember in Scott Sattler in some of our games in the final series, used to walk around with a ghetto blaster on his shoulder, you know, with some music playing. But other than that, we're going back a fair way.
I know we've got a full day to go, but what do you think, Gerds? What's in your gut? What's in your brain about tomorrow night?
My brain says we need to score some points tomorrow, like not just, you know, 12 or 14 points. I think we need to get to score more than 20 points. I think Queensland will come out with that attitude. I think it's going to be a fast track. I know Queensland are going to be better, but I think we just need to handle the big moments better. And I think we've got the potential to do that. And I really believe that Freddie will get the best out of him. He was really disappointed. And one thing, everyone talks about how laid back Freddie is, but he's an absolute winner, and he detests losing, and I've been around him when he loses, and he doesn't handle it well, and I know how much that would have hurt him, and that would be a reflection of the way they prepare. So I think New South Wales will win, but I think it'll be a high-scoring game, if they do.
What do you think?
New South Wales, 100%, Tony. 100%. Look, mate, I think the weather will play a bit of it'll play a bit of havoc at the moment. You know, I think, you know, when you get those new balls and there's a bit of water on them, they're very slippery. So I think if we can just hold and control the ball, like New South Wales did with the women's in the second half last night, I think we'll go a big way winning. I think Jimmy Maloney will be the difference.
I think it was Coach Whisperer speaking when Kevin Walter said that they only rated 5 out of 10 in Origin.
It's a little bit harsh, wasn't it? So, I mean, let's not forget that they had 3 or 4 try-scoring opportunities that they missed in that first half as well. So I think 5 is a bit of a harsh score, but hey, high standards from Kevy.
Sadly, that's where we have to leave you. Aaron Woods, you have been absolutely sensational. It's been a great pleasure to have you on the show. Will you come back again?
Oh, mate, anytime you want me, I'll come back, have a laugh. It's good that Dell's not here. I get a bit of time on the mic. So it's all right.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
We all do. All of us. Great. No, we love you, Dell. Come back soon. See you, Emma, as well. Triple M rocks the footy.